God, we want to be open to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we thank you for this prophetic picture, Lord, that the dry hearts, Lord, are getting watered, Lord, and the full hearts are getting expanded. Lord, wherever we fit in that, we just say, God, yes to it right now. I just encourage you right now to say, Lord, wherever I am, Lord, however dry I am or however full I am, Lord, we just say yes to receiving the water of the Spirit, the fresh water, Lord, that you even spoke of there in that. So we just receive that, and we thank you for it today. Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Can you have the microphone, please? Sure.
It's getting a lot better with the progress doing it, because first she would not want to be set down, but it's getting better with all the getting down thing. So,
amen. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stand with me if you will and take a minute to say hi to somebody. And it's good to know things are getting better. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Check 1, 2. All right, friends and family. We're going to do a little something here. I'm going to get my chair. Okay. The Lord has begun to highlight to me to go deeper into understanding some things about testimonies. And probably so for a period of time, whenever I speak, I'm not going to be the only one speaking. Just like last week, we had Jamie, and the week before, Jan shared, and those things will go on. But I want to just start today with a question. It's a real simple question, and I want you to think for a minute. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of really good Bible stories. I'm getting some breeze up here because it's hot. Well, I'm not really sure, but one of the things that I know that happens is that when the air conditioner's on, the hot air actually rises, and so it stays a little cooler down low if we let the hot air rise and the cool air down. I mean, it wasn't. We were able to get it cooled off in here soon enough today, anyhow, so we're trying to catch up. If you don't get it cool early, it stays too hot. But we can turn those on. I don't care which way or the other. Okay, Old Testament stories. Good ones. Okay. I want you to just think for a minute, because everybody knows at least one good Old Testament Bible story where God did something supernatural. Okay. What's your favorite? Joseph. Okay. Come here just a second. I'll give you your chance. Over there, Daniel and Lions Den. Hang on. Come here just a second, Larry. What specifically about Joseph? I want you to say what about the story of Joseph gets you excited?
Well, as a young person, he was set apart in a unique way. He had dreams, and of course, he was immature, so he got in a lot of trouble with his brothers. And I was recently reading the story, and at first, they weren't just going to throw him in the pit. They were just going to kill him. Like, we really don't like you, really, to the point you're not going to get to live any longer forever. You know, we don't want to put up with your existence. And then one brother kind of jumps in, and they're like, well, we could just, like, sell him, I guess. They're like, oh, fine, we were wanting to kill him, but whatever. We'll just sell him off into slavery forever. Then he gets sold into slavery. But, you know, what I love so much about the story is, even though, you know, he goes from favored son with the coat of many colors and, you know, the apple of his father's eye, obviously, to slave. But throughout the whole story, it just kept saying, but the favor of God was with him. And so many times we'll see someone who's maybe in a seemingly very hard circumstance, right? Favored son to slave. But the fact that the presence and blessing and favor of God was with him as a slave, right? Then he gets promoted to prisoner. Okay. Not much of a promotion, really. And they, you know, but yet it said, but everything he touched just turned to gold. So pretty soon he's just running the prison, because he's still using his giftings. He's using his God-given blessing to bless the prison. Okay, well, that's good, I guess, you know. And then he also has the gift of interpreting dreams, which is a gift. Because when God just tells you something, you can just tell someone else. You didn't really have to work at it, really. It's just a gift, right? And so he interprets these dreams that the baker and the wine. But then it said another 2 years he was still in prison after interpreting those dreams. And so for me, what's so encouraging is, even throughout all the process of where God is ultimately taking us, and he's going to promote us in ways that we are a tremendous blessing to many, many people, which Joseph was, even to his very own family. They, according to, if you read it right, they probably would have starved to death if not for what God did through Joseph. Much less thousands, if not millions, of other people in that region. Okay, so the tremendous blessing that he was, even though it was postponed many, many, many years, okay, but the faithfulness, the blessing, even in the hard times and the times of preparation. And all I thought was so cool the last time I read the story was when Joseph, how do I say this? So his brothers come to get grain, okay, and then his brothers realize who this person is and how much power and authority he has, all right? And, of course, they were just scared that he would bring vengeance back on what they had done to him, so they're all afraid. And if you read it close, when he finally reveals who he is, he basically says, go tell our father this. Don't bring up anything of what you did, you know, the wrong. That's done. That's over. It's forgiven. It's past. What you meant for evil, God meant for good. I realize it. There's no vengeance here. There's complete forgiveness. There's complete restoration. And only tell him this.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Now he's saying that he'd love to see how God could use something. There's a whole bunch of stuff in there, but how God delayed. So when we're in a time where it seems like things are bad, God can turn them to good, and had ultimately there's a powerful redemption. Okay. You said Daniel in the lion's den. So I want you to just come here a minute and say, what about Daniel in the lion's den do you like so much? So just come on. You think about your favorite Bible story. I ask one or two more people. Your favorite Old Testament where God did something supernatural.
I just like it that because he had an uncompromising spirit, and even though, you know, there was many tempting times where he was like, wow, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. And it's like the Lord didn't keep him from the lion's den. He went into the lion's den, but he preserved him while he was in the lion's den. I mean, we're always saying, Lord, don't let this happen, don't let this happen. But he's like, I'm with you. We'll go through this. We'll be triumphant and victorious through this. He has dominion over lions. He has, you know, the whole thing. Yeah. It's like he didn't keep him from it. He brought him through it. And that's what I like.
Okay. All right. Your favorite Old Testament Bible story where God supernaturally did something? The three Hebrew children in the fire. Okay. What about that part? Why do you like it so much? Regardless of the circumstances, basically the same thing. Regardless of circumstances, God will be with you in it. Come on, somebody else be brave and tell me one other time. Come on, okay, Micah. The Old Testament story that just sticks out is, man, I just love it. Every time I read it, I can read that, I can see it, and I think, wow, this is so amazing.
Abraham's whole, you know, since he got promised the child, and it took, you know, 70,000 years to get there, and then God's like, hey, sacrifice your child. I would have been like, yeah, no, that's not happening. And he went faithfully, even after he waited and waited and waited through all the heartache and his sin compromise, and God still came through after that. You know, he started this whole line of other, you know, now there's, it's just evil in the world, but it's like he still blessed that and still blessed him, and then he brought another sacrifice where it looked like he was going to have to lay that thing down that was so close to his heart. That would have been the most painful thing for him to even fathom to lay down. He was going to do it, and God at the last minute was like, hey, yep, you're faithful. So, yeah, he just was faithful to provide.
Okay. Yeah, praise God. See, the first thing we understand, we start listening to testimonies, hardly can you hear and be reminded of what God did where there's not some way the Holy Spirit isn't going to apply it to your life. You know, there's some way that you can go, he did that. See, part of our challenge in life is to remember who God is. And one of the ways to remember who God is to remember what God has done. Because God's acts leads us to understand God's ways. And God's ways direct us to rely and trust and understand his character. And so, okay, just another testimony, just one story that God, that has just stuck in your mind. It's like your go-to Old Testament story Come on, somebody. I can call on Chris. I will if I have to, okay? Because he always has at least one story. But I'm going to say, okay, Chris, you tell me your favorite Old Testament God story just because I know you will if I ask you to. Okay, Sandy, she saved us. All right, but I just want to hear it. Okay, good. It doesn't matter how fast it is.
Well, you said it applies to all of our lives. Mm-hmm. I hope this will apply to our lives. Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And so that's my goal.
That's good. You know, now see, even think about that, because Enoch walked with God, and he was no more. In other words, the picture, the understanding is he got so close to God that one day he just walked right off into eternity without ever going to the grave. That's a testimony of something God has done that we can literally say, if God ever did this, we know Scripture is very clear that he's no respecter of person. If God ever did this once, then there's a precedence that he can do it again. Yeah. Elijah, yeah, that's true. He just floated. That's so good. Okay. Now, second, I'm going to ask a question. And you might have to be a little bit, you might have to think a little bit more of that. But all of us know people or testimonies that have encouraged us in our faith. Okay, somebody told us a testimony of what happened, and it caused something to happen in our life. The very first one that I had was on March of 84 when I walked into that PTA building that I was telling you about, and the preacher was talking about how messed up he'd been, how involved with drugs and crazy living and life that he'd been. And that was the first time that I connected with that guy was like I am, and God has done something for him. And that testimony, just his words, I didn't know him before that day, but I heard that the Lord did something and it affected me. So I want somebody just to take a minute to think of a testimony that somebody shared that's affected you. And you have to be willing to share it, but something happened. Come on, Ray. I should have brought the mic phone to a little pregnant mama. There we go. But walk that child out there.
The story that Lou shares about him being in a boiler room. So he was a janitor for a long time, or a lawn keeper. And he had literally a boiler room where he would go and pray, and it was his prayer closet. Well, many people know now there are boiler rooms. It's like a chain of 24/7 prayer movement. Well, that was what he calls his little, like the movie War Room, that was his war room, was the boiler room. But he would pray in there the prayer of Jabez, that his tent pegs would be expanded or all that other stuff. And then I stop, and I was just talking to Curtis the other day. I'm like, that prayer to me sounds so like prideful, like God give me money. You know, I don't know. It's sometimes different areas, times of my life. But if I look at Lou then in this little boiler room, and I look at 100,000 people in a stadium now, it's like, to me, that being friends with him is like, that is one of the most, like, God going above and beyond. Like, he was by himself, he would mow lawns, he'd be in his boiler room praying, like, God, give me more boundaries, give me more people to reach, give me more, and like, 100,000 people in stadium seven times, mm-hmm. 20 to 100,000 people, I think that's extending the temp.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. 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 Somebody you know has seen God move, and you witnessed it. Okay, and it encouraged your heart to believe. Okay, somebody else. I told mine, Rachel told mine. Somebody, it's just a testimony where you heard what God had done and it caused you to want to believe. Yeah.
I got saved in 1986. In 1984, I had actually signed the back of a Gideon's book. I was raised Catholic, and I was like Cornelius. I did fear the Lord. But I just couldn't grasp what it really was. But if it says it in the back of the Gideon's book, I'll sign it. That's good. 1984, Valentine's Day, Macon, Georgia. And then I moved to Springfield after graduation, and a lady did the Navigator's Bridge illustration. I signed it at the Bonanza on Clear Lake back then. But I still didn't grasp it. But then I dated a girl, and it ended badly, and I was really hurting, and so I went to Calvary and this guy preached a sermon that night, Sunday night. I was with Steve Casper, and I went down, and I went to a Carmen concert the next week. I went down, and I kept going down because I thought, wow, how did they know that? That was going in my heart. So I just kept going, and then finally one of the guys said, G.L. Matthews, he said, hey, come over here, young man. He says, you go down every time we invite. You know, we do this after every service. I go, you do? And he says, yeah. And so, but I went to this meeting, and Dale Crawl came, and he was just, it was by fluke. He came by. It was at 4:30 in the afternoon, which they don't have services at that time. And they were having a special one, so I listened to it. And he said that he had a relationship that he had gone through and violated much of God's ways, and that he totally dedicated himself to God's ways. And he talked about how he didn't kiss his wife until the day he got married, and a romantic, you know, and all these different things on dating. And I'm thinking, I have never heard that.
Not even close to that.
But man, I did just the opposite of that, and I feel all the pain that he feels. And he's the first guy that's ever described what exactly I'm going through right now. Is that really possible to do something like that? And all I knew is what I had done didn't work. And it caused this person a lot of pain. It caused me a lot of pain. And it just caused so much pain that I remember just going home, which is not myself, and going, boy, I just wish I could just end all this pain in my heart right now and do a permanent solution for our temporary problem, you know? But I remember turning away from listening to the radio, and just back then WIBI was all talking, and I would just listen to that, and my mind was getting renewed because I was trying to escape a pain. But when I heard Dale speak, I go, there's something about what he said. And then I looked him up 3 years later. I just remembered him all that time. I said, would you need somebody to, I want to be discipled by you, would you need somebody to come down and assist you? And he said, yeah. Well, he didn't say yes. It took 3 months of him testing the situation. And then I went down there, and I learned from him, and did a lot of things, and that's where I met Ann. But that testimony of doing things God's way versus my way that ended in destruction, it really did transform Ann and I's life, and it's transformed our family's life because of seeing what Dale did.
Yeah, I'll say this too, having known Chris now for the last several years, that simple testimony is centerpiece to his life and ministry. It really is. It's central to everything that he does and all the places that he goes, doing things God's way. He teaches secular people how to do things God's way, okay? I mean, because he knows that there's a blessing connected to it, even when people who don't necessarily know God follow God's precepts. So, I mean, it's amazing that the very first testimony that influenced you is now still influencing thousands of people through you. That's amazing. Okay, somebody else, they heard a testimony, and it's affected them. It was a powerful influence on their life. Just one more. Somebody heard a testimony. You never has ever heard a testimony. Oh, my goodness gracious. You're just a bunch of shy people. Yeah, John. Mike Warnke. Yeah. Okay. What did he say? Mike Warnke said, okay, yeah, he was used to be a Satanist, and then God turned his life around. So, okay, basically, if he could do it for a Satanist, he could do it for anybody. Gotcha. Yeah, Ann. All right, good.
In Carbondale, on a Friday night, a campus ministry, I heard a couple that was remarried give a testimony, and before they were saved, they got divorced, and then the wife had gotten saved and met with Dale. And Dale said, if you want to get your marriage restored, I want you to go home and ask the Holy Spirit to show you everything that you did wrong to violate your marriage. You know, words you said and attitudes you had, et cetera, write them down. And then ask your ex-husband to, you know, meet with you, and then humbly, first repent to the Lord, and then repent to your husband. And she just said, what? Bringing up all my junk? That's certainly not going to do anything to get us back together. But that is what my spiritual leader is saying, and I'm sure, you know, she started to see it in the Word, and so she did that, and he eventually did get saved, forgave her, and they're walking a life of humility and repentance, and that is what, if you've ever talked to me, about marriage and restoration, that is what I preach.
They got remarried, had two more children, and now are a blessing to others. Okay. Now, isn't that something that how those testimonies, and they're talking about, that wasn't last week or last year. Chris just talked about it was 30 years ago, and probably not too much 25 years ago. But yet it affects their life. It continues to affect their life today. They heard somebody share something just like I shared. Okay, now, this is going to be a little easier probably for you. Okay, now, how many of you can tell me a testimony that happened to you? I'm going to start with Ray, because he said something specifically that I know it was the Lord, that the Holy Spirit spoke something to you, and you can testify what the Holy Spirit spoke. You saw him do something God did. So, Ray, would you mind just sharing that, what you shared with me? And then...
Thank you, Jesus, and I want to thank everybody in this room who did pray for me, because I was in bad shape. It's been almost a year. I had a violent back attack for no apparent reason whatsoever. So bad, and nerves were, I had to take gabapentin, seizure medicine to calm the nerves in my leg, because I was just dropping, just like on the ground.
Yeah.
Bad, crazy stuff. Anyway, I am well today. It's funny how things work, because I came in here and I had the whisper, which of course is the Holy Spirit, come in deep in my mind and all through me, and said, today you are officially well 100%, and I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt the light, ray light. I felt the light come up again.
Yeah.
And I feel good. I'm telling you, I feel good. Praise God.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit spoke to him, you're better, and he's better. He said, okay, so somebody else. Testimony of something God has done. This is easy. Come on. Somebody, come on, Hank. Come on up. Anytime, buddy. Lately, you just tell us a testimony of what God did for you at any point in time, yesterday or 10 years ago.
Okay. I came here in 78 from Chicago, a strung out drug addict, 2 years adult probation, nowhere to go. Ended up in the drug program. I just kind of wanted to get clean, you know, and kind of straighten my life up. I didn't really have intentions of staying that way, you know, and so I stayed for a couple years, and I got clean and healthy, you know, got a job and all that, and I was really seriously thinking about going back to Chicago, which I knew would have been a death trap, but I met Colleen, you know, and I met my wife, and she showed me the way to the Lord, you know, and ever since, you know, I struggled with it at first, you know, and I accepted Jesus, but I didn't really feel any power or anything, you know. I still felt guilty about everything I'd done and everything, and then this man, I think it was David Manley or somebody, came to Vineyard, and he brought the Holy Spirit with him, you know, that's what we were saying. And that was the first time I ever really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I felt, man, you know, it was good. I shook all over, you know, rolled on the ground and all that. And it was great, you know. And then we went to, like you, I went to the Y, at the Women's Y, they were having church. And there's these big guys like Buck Nation and Kent Venson and huge guys raising their hands, praising God. You know, that's for me. You know, this church for me. But anyway, God's been healing me all along. You know, he healed me of mentally, a lot of mental addictions and drug addictions and everything. And I got, last 8 months, I felt like I was under attack, you know, physically. You know, I keep saying, oh, you're just getting old, you're just getting old. Well, I don't accept that, you know. But anyway, I started having seizures, never in my life, you know, and then they found out they were what they call absent seizures, because you're absent in the mind when they happen, you know. I was playing ball one night, and it happened. I was driving out 55, got where I was going, it happened, and scared the heck out of being, you know, my wife. And so we finally got this under control with some medicine and everything. I haven't had any. And then I hurt myself at the club, and I pulled my back out, and lower spine injury. And then it switched, it moved to a nerve, and it went all up and down my leg. Hurt like heck, you know. I didn't really want to take pain medicine, you know. I can't take that stuff, you know. And inflammatory wasn't helping much. I slept maybe 2-3 hours a night, and the pain would get me up. And my whole life was upside down because I'm used to being active, playing ball, and bike riding. And so when I came in, well, last Saturday, we went out with Dave Sherrill and went out to eat and everything and spent time talking, went to his house. Was sitting outside praising the Lord and talking, and then we went and watched that movie, Risen. Great movie. Yeah. I love the disciples in that movie. Real men, real people, yeah. You know. But anyway, my leg was aching. Went to bed aching, you know. Slept a couple hours, got up, was aching, walked in that door. Dan May grabbed me right away, and Dave Nation started praying for me. Honest to God, instantly, I started feeling relief in my leg, crazy. You know. And it just got better and better. And then we felt a strong presence over there. We didn't really know Jamie was behind us. We didn't know who he was. Colleen felt him. You know, and she's good about that. But I don't know. Between Dan and Dave and Jamie and the church, and, you know, that there was a power, there was a presence in here last week. And, you know, before I left, I was healed. You know, I told Colleen Sunday afternoon, when you go riding tomorrow, I want to go with you. You know, I went bike riding. I played softball in a game Tuesday night. I've been, you know, back to myself all week. And I just want to thank the Lord, you know. Hey, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. You know, like I said, I was a scumbag, you know. But he continues to heal me.
Amen. And bless me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we love you, Hank. We love you. Okay, now, testimonies. See, the... everybody loves to hear testimonies of what God does. Everybody likes to be reminded of what God has done. And there's so many reasons, but yet we're looking into more. Go ahead. I want to look into what God says about it, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. You know, just sitting down there and hearing everyone sharing their testimony and what God has done in your lives, and scriptures that the Lord has used to minister to you one way or the other, or one point or the other. I sat there and I looked at my life and where the Lord has brought me to and where he's brought me from. I remember in 1987, my dad was... this was back in Nigeria. He's worked for the government for years, and all of a sudden got involved in some funny deals, and he's put in like over 20 something years of his life with the government. And one day, because of all he was involved in, a lot of bad deals that he was not supposed to consign himself with it, but got involved in those deals. Today he had a job. The next day he was fired. Then we're living in the government premises, and we were told he got his termination letter today, and we're given 24 hours to get to move out of the property. Wow. So it was crazy. I mean, I was young, but I still remember everything that happened. And it was like our world was coming to an end, you know. How are we going to go to school and everything? Right at that point, I think we didn't have anybody that was a graduate in my family. None had gone to college. So going to college, everything was like, that was the end. I was just back home. We use not grade school like you guys do it here. It's like primary, secondary, and university. I was in my second year of secondary school. So I still had 4 more years to go before I graduate from secondary school, before I would go to college. I didn't know how I was going to go through all that. We didn't know. Most of us thought that was going to be the end of our academic pursuit in life. But God miraculously came through. I sit back and I look at myself today. I look at my brothers and sisters. By the grace of God, every one of us. My mom had 8 of us. And by the grace of God, we're all today graduate from colleges, and the Lord was faithful. I mean, he saw us through. He saw us through. And I look back and I'm like, even when I was in college, yes, I knew the Lord, but I still, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, God, you know what? Let's have a deal. This is for you, but this one, I still want to be a double. I want to do this, you know? And when I look at some of the things I did in college, I'm surprised that I never got killed, you know? I did not die. And when sitting, talking about it now, it just reminds me that God has a plan and a purpose for me. As we were talking, a song that was just going through my mind was, "You are a good, good father. That's who you are. You are a good, good father. That's who you are." Even all this past 3 years of being away in Monty, like I said, I said before, the first year was hard for me. Every day I come back, my wife, when she comes back from work, I look at her. I was not the nicest husband to be around. I was not the nicest person because I was frustrated. I was like, it's like nothing was moving in my life. Nothing was happening. Nothing was going on. Let me use the word hate. I was almost to the point of hating moving from Springfield to Muncie because I was like, well, I had a job in Springfield. You know, we had to move because of your academic pursuit or your goals in life and all that. This is not for me. I mean, you know, I hated being there at that point, and I was mean to her. I know I was really mean. But the Lord saw us through. The Lord came. I got my job I'm doing now, which is way different from what I used to do, different from what I read, but the Lord has helped me to excel in it. I started working with Help at Home in Muncie on the 9th of February 2015. We were expecting Nimi, and we already knew that when Nimi comes, the plan was that Tolu was going to take 3 months away from work and she was going to stay home with Nimi. But how we're going to live for those 3 months, medical bills, feeding and all those things, we didn't know where it was coming. Nimi was to be born in May. In February, the Lord gave me a job. So a few months before Nimi came, the Lord gave me a job. When Tolu was out of work, we had the job. We're using that to survive. And I sit back and I just look. He's really a good, good father. He's a good, good father. We may not understand. Things just happen. We kind of question God. I question my moving out of Springfield. I remember the very day Tolu got her letter that she was, you know, when she got where she was going to for residency. Everybody was excited. Yes, I was excited. But I remember the first thing I told him, I told her, which was not encouraging at all. I was like, I'm not going to do dishes anymore. Because I know that when I came to the U.S., my first job here in the U.S., Pastor Dale Kroll helped me to get. I was working with a restaurant. I mean, I'm not a prideful person, but that was one humbling period of my life. When I came from Nigeria, I was working in a bank. I had a driver that takes me out to go for marketing and all that. I don't drive. I sit at the back seat and, you know, they call me the boss. And I came to the U.S. My first job I got here in the U.S. was to work as a dishwasher. And when I was getting that job, they were like, well, we're not going to give you, sorry I'm taking your time, but I just want to, I'm saying this so that you see that we serve a good, good father. They said, we're not going to give you full time. We're going to give you part time. Part time, you're going to work 25 hours a week. And this is what we're going to pay you. We're going to pay you $8.50 minimum wage. I looked at that and I looked at what I was earning. I remember there was a day I was doing the dishes and I was standing by the dishwasher doing the dishes and I was crying because I was like, God, this is not what I bargained for. When we moved to Springfield, I remember when we were moving from Carbondale to Springfield and I came to Springfield, I looked at the seat. I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a good job. I was excited, get a better job than what I had in, I was going to get a better job than what I had in Springfield, in Carbondale. But the first job I got in Springfield was to work in the cafeteria. And I started that. And from there, I eventually got a job working in the IT department. I was earning more money. I was happy. I felt I was well in my comfort zone. Here she was. She got her letter to do her residency. We were moving from Springfield to Muncie. And when we went to Muncie, I saw Muncie. I was like, can any good thing come out of Bethlehem? Yeah. So when she got the letter, I just told her, instead of me to say congratulations, I said, I'm not going to do dishes. I was so upset. And that was it. Speaking of which, I think the Lord wanted to teach me a lesson. For 18 months, I was at home. I wasn't working, but the Lord was providing for us. And when it was time for us to increase, numerically in our family, the Lord brought a job for us. And ever since then, he's been good. He's been good. I just want to bless God. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here real quick, but I want to say something that we're going to be looking at that. In our life and our assignment, the commission that Jesus has given his church is truly impossible. Okay? I say that because if I don't start with saying that, some people believe that certain commands of Christ are possible to do, like love your neighbor as yourself, and other ones like raise the dead are impossible to do. And I want to start with saying that all of the commands of Christ, everything that he wants us to do, are impossible to do outside of his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us and enabling us and through us. And the truth is that God wants us to be believers, because Mark 9 says everything is possible for him who believes. Okay? So the idea that impossible means nothing to those, it meant nothing to Jesus. And I don't mean to say that, but when he looked at situations, he never looked at what wasn't happening. He looked to the Father and what was available. And so when he saw a demonized boy, he was able to say, come out of him, and the boy was in his right mind. He knew how things were in heaven, and he brought them to earth. That was his prayer, on earth as it is in heaven. But he didn't do those things simply for them to be done. He did those things because, remember, Jesus laid down his deity and became a man with all human frailties and weaknesses. He didn't do the things that he did as God. He did them as man. But he showed us what was possible as believers, as Christians, what could be done. Our commission, if you will, Jesus gave the Great Commission, everybody knows, go into all the world making disciples of all nations and teach them to obey everything I've told you. Well, he commissioned them. He told them what to do. And he said, in my name, lay hands on the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, raise the dead. He when you needed finances, you don't have to struggle. He found money in the mouth of a fish. I mean, he said there isn't any impossibility when you're connected to who God is, when you understand his character, his nature, just like he just shared, that he's a good father, that he's a good father. And so our, if you will, as sons and daughters, because we have to begin to think about this in a real way, and that is that he calls us son and daughter. That means we really are his children. And if we really are his children, then we have from him an inheritance. And our inheritance isn't meant for us to spend or to receive after we die. Our inheritance, what good is the ability to lead someone to the Lord, or to pray for someone and see them healed, or to receive supernatural provision for a need? What good are any of those things in the hereafter? They have no value in the hereafter. They only have value here. And God wants us to represent Jesus, who never knew an impossibility. He never knew something to be impossible, because he knew who his Father was. And so our inheritance, if you will, is to be spent
drawing on the promises of God for the benefit of others. Okay? Every promise in God's word, I mean, there's scriptures that we can read and say, wow, it's really neat. Isn't that really awesome? But I believe the Lord wants us to understand, if we're going to expect him not to be, expect him to be who he is, no respecter of person, there's a scripture that I stumbled across that has just got my heart stirred, and it's in the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119. Maybe we'll go back to this a lot. We probably will. But Psalm 119 and verse 111 says, I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, God, all the things that you've done forever. Most of us know the children of Israel, that was required for the Jewish families to know the first five books, everything that the God had done for their ancestors. When he parted the Red Sea, when he protected them, the ark, everything that happened was testimonies of God, many of which were, there were monuments and mementos built specifically. But the idea was that those children of Israel who look back at their ancestors were able to say, God has always been faithful to our family, so in this crisis right now, we expect he'll continue to be faithful to our family. That was God's intention, is that the testimonies were to solidify their trust, no matter how impossible the situation seemed. But it's still true today for us. Jesus was the perfect model. And I believe if we understand that Jesus, born as a man, didn't come out of the womb a fully adult, mature, understanding who he was and everything that was about. He didn't. He was born into the earth just like you and I. Born into the earth, a baby who had to be cared for and taken care of. But I'm going to say the first thing that he received understanding of was what all Jewish children received. The testimonies captured in Scripture about what God has done in their past. He was trained. Scripture actually says he learned obedience, and he was trained just like we're to be trained. He was our model. But you also have to realize that Jesus probably heard a lot of stories from Mary and Joseph. Why? Because they were visited by angels. Because Scripture says that she cherished in her heart, she treasured everything that she had been told. You can't imagine a mother or a father raising a child that it had angelic visitations before you were born. Your mom was pregnant, except she was pregnant by God, and an angel came and told me that, son. There's nothing in Scripture that records that those events happen, but think of just earthly fathers and mothers that would have a child that was prophesied by Scripture and that angels gave you confirmation, the Holy Spirit came on you. You couldn't help but not, as that child was growing, being able to tell you, God, show me. How many times was he reminded by his mom and dad of the testimony of God, things that had happened over his life? And thirdly, the Holy Spirit confirming to his heart, or if you will, facilitating his communication with the Father. The Holy Spirit, just like Ray shared, just a minute, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and confirmed that I was healed, and I was. Just like when Hank said, they prayed for me, I felt the Spirit of God and the pain was gone. Well, in a like manner, Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, that he didn't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears the Father say, that's what the Holy Spirit speaks, and I only speak what I hear my Father speaking. In other words, I have a testimony within me of the Holy Spirit enabling me to step out in faith when I'm not sure if this is going to work. Ray could have said, and I know that this is possible because I've heard people say it, I don't think that's God. That little voice that hit me right now and that little feeling, it's probably indigestion, and I'm probably just imagining this. Okay. Now, I don't know, you understand what I'm saying? He received the testimony of the Spirit, and when he did, he rose up. I'm going to say that there was a moment that he decided, this is God, and I receive it. So Jesus, like us, had the testimony captured in Scripture what God had done. Jesus, like us, had testimonies of others speaking and encouraging him into his destiny and identity, like us. And Jesus had the testimony of the Spirit. How many in here, and I know you can raise your hand, but have thought they heard a little prompting of the Spirit, and when you obeyed it, it was absolutely God. You no doubt about it. It was like, wow. I don't think that's meant to be an occasional thing. And so we're going to investigate, if you will, the testimonies for the sake of training us to walk in a relationship with the Father, fulfill our destiny, and walk in our identity. We're going to spend emphasis on understanding what Scripture says about testimonies, and we're going to look at how much God has emphasized. This, to me, is a new study. Okay, I've always believed in testimonies, and so I want your heart to be turned towards, even if you start out with this week, going to your favorite Old Testament Bible stories and reviewing them again. And maybe take a minute to go to remember some prophetic words or prophetic testimonies. I'll tell you one of the ones that, for me, I mean, I see God's timing in this, but Marlene was here at the beginning of the year, the end of last year, right? Was it December, something like that? And here's a woman who had cerebral palsy, was completely and totally incapacitated, and God supernaturally intervened and raised her up and healed her and uses her as a preacher. I mean, that's a pretty powerful healing test. I don't know personally that I've ever seen anything much more powerful than that healing testimony, okay? But I'm in the midst of a battle that I didn't choose. And I'm looking at my son suffering in pain, and I'm listening to what the doctors are saying. And I'm telling you, it was God's divine providence to give me a hands-on, firsthand testimony of a woman who is in severe difficulty, who God has raised up, that I can say, God, I know that you're good. And I know somebody that you did the very thing that I'm asking you to do for my son. And so I stand, Lord, knowing that you're not a respecter of persons, and knowing, God, that you would have even sent that woman at that time because you knew shortly thereafter we were going to have this battle. And I needed a testimony to draw on. God, I needed a promise, not just the promises of what you've done in the past, but a promise of somebody else you've done it for, along with the promise you've given me. And so I'm hanging on to those things. But I believe those are, if you will, the soil for which God is going to grow a great and mighty movement of men and women of faith right here. And that's what I'm counting on. So we're going to spend some time looking at those things. And I thank you guys for just bearing with me today as we share testimonies. And I'm going to ask you to stand now, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you today, Lord, for the opportunity to have our hearts impacted again by recounting the story of Joseph and Daniel, Lord, by remembering, Lord, Enoch, Lord, but also, God, for being reminded of how the testimonies of others have impacted us, as well as, Lord, our own testimonies, our own confirmations, the old times where you've spoken to us, Lord, and the very thing you spoke has come to pass. Now, Lord, as we enter into this season, I believe, Lord, you do everything you do for a purpose and for a reason. And so, Lord, we want to give ourselves to that purpose, Lord, that the atmosphere of this place, of these families, Lord, of this community, Lord, would be charged with expectancy that what you've done before, you're going to do again. And Lord, where we've become lax in our belief, Lord, where we've become hardened in our heart, Lord, where we become indifferent, Lord, to those things that you have done so miraculously and so wonderfully before us, Lord, right now, we just repent, Lord. We just say, God, I don't want to be hard. I want to remember the testimonies. Lord, we want to expect you to do great and mighty things in our midst. And so, Lord, we just once again stir ourselves to recall and remember, God, and to recant the faithfulness of our God throughout history of the earth, throughout the history of our family, and throughout our personal histories. Holy Spirit, we want to grow in the anointing
to represent Jesus. We want to grow in Christ likeness. God, and I believe with all my heart, Lord, that there's a key here that you're offering us to enter into understanding and to giving testimonies of who you are and what you've done. So, Lord, we just want to set ourselves to say, God, have your way. Holy Spirit, use the testimonies that we all have for your kingdom and your glory, and begin to stir our hearts again, God, to believe that nothing is impossible for him who believes. Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. God bless you. Have a great day today, you guys. Continue. Andrew's just for an update real quick. If for those who want to know, Andrew is going up to the cancer treatment center for the next couple days, and this is the first real evaluation after they did a brain surgery and all that stuff, so they'll tell him how they're going to start treating things again. So just keep him in your prayers. He's been kind of fatigued, but we thank you guys for your prayers and support. God bless you all. You're beautiful. Have a great day in Jesus' name.